This podcast takes you into the rarely discussed realm of the personal decisions leaders have taken that have influenced their business decisions and developed them into the leaders they are today. The refreshingly honest experiences of those who have been very successful provide an insight into the challenges they faced, the successes they achieved, and the people who influenced them along their journey. Here's our host, Mark Silvera.
Welcome to Business Made Personal. This podcast is brought to you by the insurance industry's leading education and events provider, ANZIF, via their Careers in Insurance initiative. I'm Mark Silvera. Drew Schneehager is the MD of Innovation Group Australia, a claims management provider. Drew's first job was in claims, and having worked for insurers and a broker prior to joining Innovation Group in South Africa, Drew and her family migrated to Australia in 2019. Interesting time to come here, Drew. So she could take up a position she currently holds as Managing Director, Innovation Group. Welcome to Business Made Personal, Drew.
Thank you, and good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's our absolute pleasure. Hey, Drew, you obviously from South Africa. Can you give us a little bit of background on you prior to your work life?
So I grew up in a very small town called Vanderbijl Park with my brother. And then when I turned 18, my mom got pregnant again, and she had a little lot, lamiki, as we call it in South Africa. And then I left home, so I went off to start a career in insurance, and I started my first job as a claims agent. And then from there, I suppose, I think it's like everybody says, you fall into insurance, and that's been my career until today.
So talk to me about that sort of childhood. So you left home quite young, is that what you were saying?
I did. So growing up in a small town, there's not a lot of opportunity. And unfortunately, my parents didn't have the means for me to go and study. And I was very fortunate to get a leg up, and I went to the big city, and the big city was Pretoria. And I started working at an insurance company called Mutual and Federal, and I started as a claims agent. So I suppose from a young age, I was very determined, very goal-driven, and just very independent. And I just realized if I stayed in that small town, I would probably get married to my high school sweetheart and just have an ordinary job. And that was not my aspirations for my life. So yes, I was very independent at a very young age. I did actually marry my high school sweetheart. That was my first marriage. And we had our first business at the age of 25. So I've always been the type of person that just wanted to, you know, just climb the mountain, as they say, and just get ahead in life and get ahead in my career. So yes, the young Drew.
Talk to me a little bit about that. So what do you think gave you that motivation to be so driven? Was it because you felt that your parents really didn't have much and you didn't want to be in that position, or was it something different?
My mom and dad always provided. It's not that we, you know, there wasn't enough money. I think my mom and dad were just very, I would say, small-minded people in terms of, for them it was, you don't have to go and study, you know, to be successful. You know, you're going to get married in any case. You know, so that was their simplistic view of the world. For me, it was, I want to stand on my own 2 feet and I want to earn my own money and be my own person. And I've just always had that drive. And I think it probably comes from my grandmother. My grandmother had a very big influence in my life. I spent most of my holidays with my grandmother, my grandfather. And she was a phenomenal woman. I just, you know, always just think about, always back to her. She had a big influence in terms of my upbringing. And she was everybody admired her, and they were huge respect for her. And I think in the olden days, I mean, she was a big tennis player. She loved her tennis. She was the independent type of person that I looked up to and aspired to. So I think that's probably where my grounding came in terms of my upbringing, and just always wanted to do better in life. I think that's just always been me.
And I'm really interested to know what business you started at age 25.
We were very fortunate to just, my ex-husband, very fortunate to meet up with somebody that gave us an opportunity to invest into a pizza restaurant. So we had a pizza restaurant, and then next door to this was a franchise modeling agency. And I just looked at this and I was like, I like this. And I approached the owner and I said, what do I need to do to have my own franchise? And she said, well, it's fairly easy, and we help you and we support you to set it up, but we need to choose you a branch. And the branch was in Krugersdorp, which is a little bit away from where we were. So I used to travel quite a bit just to get to my branch. And I opened a modeling school. So I opened a modeling school and I loved it. It was a good time because you trained little aspiring models to, you know, get on a stage, and to see them, you know, just get the confidence of getting onto a stage where initially they wouldn't at all even think about it. It was really rewarding. And then doing a modeling show. So I used to put modeling shows together and host them, and we used to have competitions. And I really enjoyed that because you could just see how these little beings just came to life when they're on that stage, and their confidence just kept growing. I really enjoyed that time. It was a good time. But I think at some stage, I felt like there was not enough growth for me. You know, I've done the modeling school and you get your students. And I looked at it and I was like, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? And I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. And I decided to get back into insurance. So I got back into insurance.
I mean, I could talk to you about that part of your life for a long time, but let's move forward a little bit. So you started insurance in South Africa, and then you got the opportunity to set up to work with an underwriting agency, or did you set that up?
Well, I first worked for an insurer, and then I worked for two brokers, and then I worked for a claims administration company, exactly what I'm doing today. So I almost feel like I started my career in claims, and I'm almost going to like, seems like it's going to end my career. Hopefully there's more to come, because I don't think I'm done yet. I've still got a lot of fuel in my tank to do a couple of things before I sort of like lay down my, you know, my life and my career. But I got an opportunity to, I was actually pregnant and I had my first baby, and just now sort of like settling back in, my then boss said to me, I want you to meet somebody. And this individual is really interested in somebody that could help them set up a personalized high net worth product. And I was like, wow, I mean, I don't know anything about it. Like, all right. So I went and I had a chat with this potential, you know, opportunity, and had a chat with this individual. And he said, look, this is my idea, and I'm looking for somebody to build a product. And then we go and find an insurer and we make this happen. And I said, well, you do know, I mean, I've got experience in, you know, in various fields and various areas, but I don't have any experience in this. And he said, well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to be here and I'm going to help you, and we're going to make this happen. So we did. So I worked for a company called then Admiral Underwriting Agency, and I worked with Andrew Packman, who was then the CEO. And we started putting this product together. Probably took about 8 months just to do all the sort of like legwork, put the product together, rating, benefits, and then just start looking at the processes and then finding an insurer. So we found an insurer, and then I started this selling this product from ground up to brokers at Admiral. And then about 10 months later, there was a restructure at Admiral Underwriting, and the CEO that helped me to set this up got the boot. Somebody else stepped in and he said to me, well, what do you think about you and me taking this product and we start a new underwriting agency with this product and we just make it happen? And I said, by all means. So at that stage, I was 32. I was like, I'm going to do this. And we did. And we started a business called Aquarius Underwriting Managers. And he had big, big plans, not just for high net worth. His skill was very much liability background. So we started employing some liability underwriters, and we're going to go big. And unfortunately, he got cancer. He got metastatic melanoma cancer. And within 18 months, he was gone. And I was like, I was a shareholder. He was the biggest shareholder. And then we had a UK investor who was our chairman, Stephen Rimmer. And Stephen and I sat and we were like, I said to him, well, all I can do is I need to grow this business and I need to make it happen. But I had to obviously reassess where we were at, because we just kicked off the liability. It wasn't growing. So I decided to just focus on the high net worth and go out to the market and just sell it. And we grew the business within 7 years. We grew the business to 150 million premium income. It wasn't easy because I was fairly young, and I only had my chairman in the UK to check in with. He was sort of like my mentor. And we built up a team. And eventually, after 5 years into the 7 years, we actually won the Underwriting Agency of the Year award, which was amazing. So that was at the big function, you know, the whole big function with all the like 2,000 people. So we've got, similar to the ANZIIF awards, we've got the Insurance Institute awards in South Africa. And they phoned me and they said to me, look, you need to be ready. You've been nominated and you've actually won the award, and we want you to be there on the night. And I was like, we won the award? And they were like, yes. And I put the phone down and I was like, beside myself, because it was really unexpected. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I said to my husband, I said, we won the award. And I phoned him back and I said, did you just play a joke on me, or did we really win the award? I think it's still a joke today when I phoned him back and I said that we really, because we were sort of like, you know, we weren't that big yet, and but we did really well and people loved the product. So we put something very different together in terms of our high net worth product, which was breaking the trend of a traditional product. And the brokers loved it and their clients loved it, and it just started getting traction. So we actually sold the business to Hollard in South Africa. Hollard was our partner at that time, and I then went to work for Hollard, and they wanted me to help them set up a similar product in their space for their direct customers, not their brokers, because they obviously then already had the product now coming into their broker partner space. And I started helping them to build that product. So that was a 2-year project just to build the product and build it into their platform. So it was nice to be able to, something that I built and, you know, grew over the years, and then be able to, you know, pass it on to somebody else and then for them to take it and then, you know, grow it. It was very rewarding for me.
So talk to me about being young, being female, going and speaking to, I guess it was brokers, about this new product that no one had really heard of. How difficult was that?
It was very difficult, especially because you're young. You go to brokers and most of the brokers are, you know, they're all elderly and they have many years of experience, and they would look at you and like, I don't understand what you're talking about. This doesn't make any sense in terms of what you're telling me of how we, you know, what and how do I sell it to my customer? So I think the big thing that I sold to them was, your high net worth client is a VIP, and they are usually attached to a business, either your commercial or your corporate account. And if something goes wrong on their personal claim, then it could affect, you know, the commercial or corporate policy. And being with my claims background, we made sure that we managed those claims and treated those customers like VIP. And then the credibility just started growing and the trust started growing. And I still today, it was my birthday on Tuesday, and I still get messages from my brokers in South Africa saying, happy birthday. And I'm like, that is amazing, because, you know, you would think out of sight, out of mind, but they still send me messages, which means I obviously left an imprint and an impact with them, you know, during that time.
This isn't your first startup, right? There were 2 startups that you've set up from what I've read in your background. What is it about startups that appeals to you?
I am a entrepreneur and innovator. I think if I had to have my life over, I would have probably gone and done something more like graphic design and done something more creative. So that's, you know, I do paint as well. So I do have a creative side. So put me in a corporate world, in a corporate box, I would struggle. Last week when we had the women in insurance, I moderated the panel, and 2 of the ladies on the panel were corporate. And I just said to them when we had our sort of our pre-panel check-in, I said, I take my hat off to you, because I've done corporate. It was really, really hard for me to be in a box. And, you know, you need to just do certain things. And to grow a career, you know, in a corporate world like that, I said, I'm amazed in terms of what you've done. For me, it's about the creativity, being entrepreneurial, and being able to be in control of my destiny. And when I'm really sort of like, you know, goal driven and I'm in a business that I really enjoy, I get very passionate about it. So I think my passion also flows through to my people. It then flows through to my customers, and they start buying into, you know, what I'm passionate about. And I think that's where I'm really, you know, that's sort of one of my, the things that I'm good at. And, you know, and then when people believe in it, it actually happens. And I have to be passionate about it, otherwise I won't be successful.
Let's talk about another one of your passions, which is women in insurance. You mentioned that previously. You said a couple of things in relation to that, which I want to sort of get your views on. The first thing that I know that you said, and I quote you, women are emotional and practical individuals. Full stop. We understand the art of service delivery and have the compassion to understand clients' needs.
It's true. So I think I always say women are really good at multitasking as well. And they're really good at just, they're intuitive. So they're really good at tapping into, and I think that's probably, you know, going back to when I was selling my product to brokers and then to customers. It's understanding, really understanding, you know, what customers need. And I did the same with Innovation Group when I started. The first thing I did, I said to my team, we really need to understand what our customers want from us. because we might be doing something and delivering something that they don't even want it. And that's the first thing we did. So COVID helped us quite a bit because we could spend a lot of time in engaging our clients. And everybody was sitting around, you know, not doing much. So we started doing some customer journey mapping with our clients to understand exactly what they want. And then that helped us to inform us to do the next step, which was look at how do we change our technology platform and how do we transform the way we do things to be able to make sure that our customers stay our customers. Because, I mean, it becomes a very competitive landscape and you need to make sure that you deliver to your customers. I think the whole empathy, emotional side really comes into play because you've really got to understand and just unpick exactly what it is that they find frustrating in their day-to-day lives and then focus on honing into that. We've got 70% females in the business today. I think also the emotional side comes in and how you engage your people and your staff.
So Drew, just thinking about women in insurance, and I understand you've got 70% of your workforce which are female. When I first started in insurance, there was about maybe 10-15% of women in the workforce in the insurance sector. These days, it's around 40 to maybe even 50% now. I guess the question I've got for you is, why do you think, given that sort of ratio, women are so underrepresented in the CEO category?
I must say, at the ANZIV Awards, I was pleasantly surprised to see so many of the winners that were females walking onto the stage and accepting the awards. That was nice to see. And also that we've got a lot of these insurtech startups. I'm seeing a lot of females coming through. So in my experience, going back to South Africa, when I started, it was also very male dominant. A lot of men obviously dominating the industry. And I think in those days, you used to have the boys clubs. And today still, there's still, because I operate at the moment with Innovation Group, I operate in the fleet industry. So a lot of my clients, you know, obviously fleet managers, fleet operators, fleet management companies, I do find myself as a female, still very much predominantly in a male environment. I think women need to stop being fearful. I think we've got a lot of fear and a lot of insecurity. And I think it comes around, we are emotional beings. We can, you know, put ourselves out there and feel like, oh, wow, what have I just done? I think men are a lot more in control of their emotions, how they project themselves. And sometimes I think females could feel that, you know, oh, I never should have said that. I do that often. I'm very outspoken. And, you know, I say what I feel. And then sometimes people will say to me, or they'll just look at me like, whoa, what did she just say? But I think I've matured, you know, through the years in that, you know, I speak up. You have to speak up. And women don't feel confident. And maybe it's just the way we were brought up, you know, as kids. We need to not have that fear. We need to step out. Put yourself out there. There's a lot of strong females that I've met in Australia, a lot more stronger than females that I've met in South Africa. And I'm in awe in terms of some of the females that I've met, especially with women in insurance. And I think it's that confidence. Women just need to, they just need to take control of their own destiny. I've actually reached out to Katie Jean, was at the Women in Insurance conference, and she was presenting and she was very vocal about, you know, you need to, you know, ask for your pay increase. And I don't necessarily 100% agree with that. You have to, you know, go for your pay increase. But I do like some of her approaches and how she's encouraging females to step up. And it's, you know, the first thing is you got to climb that mountain. And when you climb that mountain, you will get to the top. And if you do get stuck halfway in climbing that mountain, don't give up, you know, and seek help because you can't do it on your own. That's another thing. And that's where men are really good at the boys club because they play the golf together and they have the drinks together. It's all about, you know, building a rapport and building a connection and relationships. I mean, that is a big part of how you advance your career, you know, and how you get to the top is how you build your network. And I think men have been really good at that in the past. And I think women are getting better at it.
So, Drew Schneehager, you know this show is called Business Made Personal. Let me talk a little bit about you. Can you tell me what's the hardest challenge you had to overcome in your life?
Moving to Australia. I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life. So, you know, I shared with you that I've opened a couple of businesses. I ran a modeling school. I ran a pizza place with my ex-husband. We built two businesses. But moving to Australia and also at the age I arrived in Australia at the age of 49 with my family, and we just arrived and we hit COVID in Melbourne. So we were in that harsh lockdown in Melbourne. And then on top of it, I had to build up this business. This business innovation group at that time was going through a lot of pain. It went through a little bit of a dip before that. We lost a lot of customers and we lost a lot of credibility, lost a lot of trust. And you arrive, and coming out of South Africa, been there for like 30 years in the insurance industry. So if you say, who's Drew Schneeager? Everybody knew me. They all knew Drew Schneeager and what I was about. And you arrive in Australia and there was not a single person that I knew other than my staff. It was really daunting. Yes. And then COVID happened. So how do you build a network and get to know people when you're in COVID and lockdown in Melbourne? And then on top of that, I got breast cancer, which came really left field for me in July 2020. And I was like, I think we have to go back home. I said to my husband, I don't know how we're going to do this. How on earth are we going to make this happen? With cancer and everything, it's the most difficult thing I've gone through in my entire life. Probably the biggest challenge. I'm very thankful. We 4 years later, we've got our permanent residency 2 months ago, just bought our first property in Australia. The business is really going better, not well yet, to my liking. I'm very hard and very critical about what I do and how I do things. It's going a lot better. I've got clients that are very happy with our service delivery and what we've done for them over the last 2 years. First time that we can actually have renewal discussions and put increases through. So I'm very fortunate and I'm very happy about that. And customers, like 3 years ago, when I met them for the first time, told me, you guys deliver the worst service. I think where we are today with our clients, and we get the feedback. So the feedback is coming back that you guys are doing a great job. That's been really tough to come from where we've been in the last 4 years to where I am today.
So talk me through how you made that happen, because like you say, most people would have packed their bongos and gone back home where they've got a support network, where they've got everything's familiar, because you wouldn't have known very much. You had no people here and you certainly wouldn't have known the environment here. So how did you persevere and what sort of things actually helped you?
I love the word resilience and being resilient. That's always been, that's been my biggest sort of like the way I cope is with my resilience. I don't give up. I always look at, you know, the glass is it's not half empty, it's half full. So I'm always look on the positive side. So I think with my cancer, my thought was I'm going to die because I went through a business partner that passed away. My sister-in-law passed away. My mother-in-law passed away. I had quite a lot of cancer around me. So that was my first thought. And I had a phenomenal team in Melbourne at the Alfred Health. My oncology team, they were amazing. And they just immediately said to me, although it's HER2 positive stage 3, we can win this because cancer has advanced so much in terms of the research and where we at today. You know, what you experienced 10 years ago, what you experienced today is a huge difference. And there's a 95% success rate in terms of, you know, curing breast cancer. That's why I'm very passionate about, you know, just supporting cancer. So I've done the CEO Dare to Cure last year. I'm doing it again this year. This year, I'm going to be diving with sharks in the sea life in the big aquarium tank. So I'm going to do that as my challenge. And I'm busy raising money. So anybody that wants to support my cause, I'd really appreciate it. And I was very involved with Cancer Council Victoria. I was their guest speaker last year at their biggest morning tea. And I just shared my story for the first time because I didn't tell anybody I had cancer. The only people that knew were my closest family and my three top managers at the Innovation Group and my boss in the UK. Because I knew if I told, people would have said, oh, what the hell? This woman's just arrived from South Africa to save Australia and now she's got cancer. So you can just imagine it would have been like, and people have got quite a different reaction to when they know you've got cancer and they all feel sorry for you. And I wasn't going to have people feel sorry for me. So I just decided I'm going to win this. And I think a lot of the way that I won it, I think it's because of my positive attitude. If I went to go and crawl in a corner and I cried every day and I felt devastated about what's happening to me, I would have died. So I just stayed really positive about, I'm going to win this. And after 2 years, I did. And it's 2 years later and I'm still winning and I'm still good and I'm healthy. And I'm very thankful for that.
I was just going to say, and it's a great cause. So we would love to put your link on our website as well so people can access it and help support you. I want to ask you just in relation to that part. So your family obviously would not have been expecting it. they would have also been like you, where they didn't know anyone here. How did they cope, not just with the news, but being in a different country and having to work their way through COVID?
Very, very difficult. And I only realized probably 2 years after we arrived what the huge impact it had on my girls. They went through a very difficult stage. They were 13 and 16, which is a very difficult age, teenagers, having to leave their friends and their family, you know, back home into a new country with a different language, because they were in Afrikaans schools, so they had to adapt to English. They couldn't go to school because we were in lockdown, so they had to do everything online. My youngest daughter started her ballet in contemp, and she had to do that over Zoom. So her confidence took a massive knock as well, not being in a class to be able to participate with, you know, other dancers. And it was difficult. They went through a very, very difficult time. And then also the thinking about, you know, my mom's got cancer and she might not make it. It was devastating for them. So as a family, it was very difficult, but we grew closer together through that time. And we didn't have a choice. We were locked up in a house, the four of us. My husband went through a very difficult time as well because he couldn't work initially. So he went through a time of a bit of depression. But I think, you know, standing back, we grew from that. And today, my eldest daughter is in the insurance industry. She just took on a new job. And I'm looking at her and I'm so proud of her, because I almost see a little bit of me in her. You know, she's just like, she's going for it. She's going to reach all the goals she's setting for herself. And she just says to me every day, "Mom, you are the strongest person that I've ever met. And I look up to you and I aspire to be just like you."
And rightly so. And there's plenty of people listening out there that would be wishing that their children said the same thing to them, right? Because that's a really powerful, you're not just a powerful role model, but that's a beautiful thing for your child to say to you. I want to ask you about how you then went about establishing your credibility in the Australian market. What were the sorts of things that you ended up doing that really made a difference?
Yeah, so arriving here, not knowing anybody, was, especially in Melbourne, was really tough. And also trying to understand the business. The business went in, you know, gone through all the turmoil. So we had to look internally first, as a business, and get our processes right, our service delivery. We did the customer journey mapping with our clients. That helped the team as well, because they could reassess where we were at and why things went wrong and what we need to do to fix it. And it took 2 years for that, to just get the business back on track, to be able to go to customers and they actually telling us that we're so happy with what you're doing and that you are delivering, you know, the service that we expect from you and what we pay for. Just externally, I decided to get a mentor, actually more than one mentor. And I think it doesn't matter what age you're at or where you're at in your career, you can always do with a mentor or a business coach or a life coach. And I've always tapped into that, because you just continue to learn all the time. You do also, I mean, you know, you climb up the mountain, you're successful and you do things. You also sometimes fall off and you lose your way, because you get stuck in, you know, in a rut in terms of how you do things. And you just have to always open your mind to, you know, what's new out there. And sometimes you still, I mean, last week was it was good for me as well, talking about, you know, the imposter syndrome. And I went through a lot of that the last 4 years, questioning my ability and what am I doing and how am I doing this? And maybe I'm not who I am or what I used to be in South Africa. Maybe I'm not that person anymore. I questioned a lot about myself. I was like, and I still do. I still do question myself in terms of, you know, what's the next thing for me to take this business to the next level? What do I need to do? And how do I, you know, just expand my network even more. So the mentors that I got into my life was really good. One of them used to be the MD of the business. And through him, I got to be introduced to people I never would have been able to speak to. And because Australia is it is about who you know, and it is all about relationships. And if you don't get an introduction, you won't get to speak to somebody. I still struggle today, where I will phone somebody when I get a number and leave a message, or I send them an email. And I've sent them like 5 emails and left them like 3 messages. And I am the MD of Innovation Group Australia, and they still don't phone me back. I'm like, what the hell?
You've become a stalker.
Yes, I do. I actually do become a stalker. Then I stalk them on LinkedIn, and I actually stalked them last week. I stalked some people last week at the awards. I'm like, I'm Drew and I want to speak to you, and can we arrange a catch up? And yes, they actually got back to me this week. So I'm really chuffed, because I went to them and said, this is me. that helped a lot. I mean, that helped me. But I think also your personal brand is, and I can talk a lot about personal brand, because I think that's probably your biggest thing that you need to build in your career, is getting your personal brand out there. And again, I had to be brave. I had to put myself out there. I got involved in women in insurance. I got involved in conferences and events and sponsorships and getting onto a stage and moderating a panel and getting speaking opportunities. And just then through that, people start, you know, you start building up and people start putting, they start putting a little picture around you about, oh, that's Drew. We're starting to recognize Drew because, you know, that's what she's doing. And then through that, it actually puts it next to Innovation Group. And I was quite surprised and amazed how powerful LinkedIn is in Australia. It's not that powerful in South Africa. And LinkedIn is like the social media platform for business. And through that, I just made sure that I got somebody into the business to promote the business and promote what we're doing. And with that, promote myself and attach and just link the two. And through that, people are watching and they, you know, they sort of, and then I can hear the comments start coming through like, oh, I saw you doing that and I see you doing this. And, oh, that was really good. And it's just, it's having the, you know, just being brave and putting yourself on that platform and putting yourself out there. And that way people will start realizing, but okay, that's what she's doing and that's what she's trying to achieve and that's what she's all about. And that's how what she's been doing with Innovation Group. And I've actually got people saying to me, well done. And also you got to be genuine. You got to be a genuine person. And I'm very sort of like down to earth, very practical. And if things are not working and it's not the way it should be, I'll call it and I'll say to people, you know what, we're not perfect yet. And we're not able to do this and we're not able to do that. But this is what we can do. And I also love to share my vision. So you've got to share a vision with people so they can see where you're moving towards. So I love sharing my vision and then, you know, telling people, you know, what we are doing to get there. And yes, we haven't been able to do everything, you know, like we thought what we wanted to, but we're not giving up. You know, we're going to keep on going at it to make sure that we do become the best third-party claims administrator in Australia.
Drew Schnehager, who the MD of Innovation Group, I've got two final questions before I let you go. The first one I've got for you is, if you were able to go back to that young woman who's leaving home and heading to the big smoke in Pretoria, what advice would you give her?
I would tell her that she should have been climbing a mountain a lot sooner than what she did. And I know I already climbed that mountain when I was 32, but you need to go for it from day one. And I think that's where I'm seeing my daughter and I'm trying to encourage her every day. You need to go for it, because the sooner you do that, the sooner you're going to reach the top. And the sooner you're going to, you know, reach your goals and be successful, especially if you want to do it. And not everybody wants to do it. Not everybody wants to climb the mountain and, you know, have all these aspirations and be a CEO of a company. But I would say, for me, what I should have done is built my network, built my relationships, put myself out there, built my personal brand and climb that mountain sooner.
And my final question, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I don't know, actually. Other than that, I don't give up. And I've got a lot to do at Innovation Group Australia. And we've got a couple of next steps we need to take in terms of climbing this mountain. And I believe we're going to get there. We need the right support, obviously, from our parent company, which we're busy working on at the moment. And then after that, I still got 10, 15 years in me to do a lot. I'd like to be in a position to say one day that I do my own thing. Hopefully, I can do that in Innovation Group. Maybe I can convince them that I'll be the entrepreneur for them in building this business and not just the MD.
Drew Schnehager, thank you so much for being with us on Business Made Personal. It's been a fantastic chat.
Thank you so much for reaching out and giving me this opportunity to have this chat. See you soon.
Thank you so much for lending us your ears. Please remember to click follow on your podcast app or subscribe at bmppodcast.com.au so we can give you a sneak peek of our next guest. Until next time, I'm Mark Silvera and you've been listening to Business Made Personal.